Der Surf Europa Podcast.
BBC World Service presents.
This is London.
Podcast. I'm Paul Evans.
And I'm Ben Mundy.
Ben, how are you doing? It's been about 2 months since the last podcast. Sorry, Surf World.
Yeah, well, we've been busy, haven't we, Paul? There's been a lot going on in Surf World. We've been keeping abreast of it. So that's our excuse. But no, I've been well. I've been over to see you. We had a little tete-a-tete in France for a while. You were there for the quick pro France. Saw Portugal, saw joy. I mean, there's been a lot going on, but yeah, I'm looking forward to a tap-tap, Paul, to go over it all.
It's time for a little look at recent happenings in the surf news. Ben, tell me what's good.
Okay, my first good is Ian Walsh. Ian Walsh is good. I've always thought that about the man. One of my Hawaiian friends, shall we call him? But he obviously won the Jaws event, which is unsurprising, seeing as he was one of the guys that pioneered paddling out there. So, he's been one of the best surfers out there for a long time. But yeah, he won. He got one of the best ever waves seen in competition. Maybe seen full stop, that massive long barrel that was a 10. Came out, didn't even claim it, which put some of sort of Gabby Medina's and Kaloa Yandino's triple claims on 4.5s for a front air rotation perspective. But I just like a lot about Walshy. He's sort of humble. He knows how to have a good time. He used to be called the Minister of Fun with his mates. He knows how to bang a hot model. He knows how to go out and enjoy himself. he trains hard, but he parties hard. He's one of the rare sort of smart and articulate surfers. He's got a good eye on the environment. He puts his money where his mouth is in that regard. And he charges massive jaw. So I thought that was just a good all-round thing where one of the best surfers out there who has done so much for that wave and that pushing the sport forward.
Okay, now. Have you set a date for the wedding, you two? Or when is the big day?
I'll email you the profiles I've done over the years, Paul. I'll send you the Word docs.
Bloody hell.
Go through his career.
Bromance.
Yeah. Well, she's good.
Yeah, Jaws was awesome, but, you know, just like last year. My question, though, regarding that, why did it take the sort of big wave fraternity sort of so long to realise? I mean, it's not a criticism. I'm just genuinely curious why it took them so long to realise that they could sort of go across a big wave rather than just down one. Do you know what I mean? If you think like Dab Bull or whatever rode kind of Makaha in '69, and then you got the sort of tube riding dudes on the North Shore in the sort of mid '70s when they first started kind of, you know, backdooring peaks and kind of ride. Why did it take 40 years? Because, I mean, they've been sort of fit for ages, and do you think it's just the life jackets or whatever? What's been the difference? Is it because of toe surfing?
I think, yeah, the toe surfing showed them the lines that they could take on it. I think the equipment, the life jackets, mean that you can take off on.
It's been a long time to wait, though, isn't it? 40 years.
Yeah, I don't know, Jaws is such a weird wave, isn't it? I mean, I think the toe surfing, they just couldn't believe that it was possible. I just couldn't get in the head that.
But now everyone can do it.
Made that big.
Everyone can pull into like a 60 foot now. Like kind of 10 years ago, it was completely unheard of, and now everyone can sort of do it within reason.
That's the thing about that comment. You see them take off on like a 50 footer and avoid the tube. You're like, boo, 3.5. Yeah.
Did you see Calais Carranza's interview with Makua Rothman after? I think it was the semi when Makua ran his semi.
I didn't, but I saw you put it up, but I couldn't find it.
It was pretty good. Kelly was like, the commentator said that you probably could have gone right on that one because he went left on one.
I saw that, yeah.
It was pretty funny. Don't think McCoy was too stoked at the suggestion. I won't do an impression, but it was pretty good.
Have you got anything that's...
Changes to the World Tour, the World Surf League format, Ben, that have been sort of rumoured in early September And then just last week, I think that was the interview.
Do they include changes to the lower roster of the commentators on the QS?
Oh, there's some sweeping changes, mate. I hear that there's one or two, or mainly one, in line for big promotions in terms of commentary, but more on that later. But, yeah, it's exciting, isn't it? I think it needs a shake-up. I don't sort of really mind what you know, in what direction, but just it just sort of feels like they've been doing the sort of same thing for a while, and at each event we go to now, unless the waves are really epic, it's a bit kind of meh. So I think it's exciting. I like the idea of condensing it all down, and I really like the idea of sending the sort of top six dudes or four women on a boat trip and deciding a world champ in Indo. Brilliant idea. Well done.
Yeah, well, the WIST was out today, isn't it? It starts at Pipe, finishes at Chopu, and then they have the Indo comp after that.
Portugal in like February or March, start of the year. Be interesting. And no Quicksilver Pro France. Brilliant.
That's one of my favourite comps. What are you talking about?
No, it is actually great.
Massive,
I think
it's going to be a massive QS.
Yeah, it probably is, isn't it?
Yeah. There you go. You'll have even more. Instead of having just 32 of the world's best surfers, you're going to have about 125, of which 85% are Brazilian.
Yeah,
but careful what you wish for, Paul. Careful what you wish for. Yeah. Have you got something else?
Yeah, Ben, I have. Don't know if you noticed some of the awesome content that came out of our We Tested Positive surfboard sniff in September. But we went to the Wave Garden Cove in the Basque Country and tested a bunch of boards.
We did, yeah, right. So when I said We Tested Positive, I thought there was some type of sort of steroids or drug references that
clever, you guys get. Can you see what I did there? But yeah, no, mate, and... it's just wicked. The facility is just so fun to surf. People like to make some comparisons in terms of quality with the Kelly one, but they're completely different things. Like, what's really cool about the Cove is the waves are in sets, and you just surf with your mates, basically. It's like they go four waves, it comes over the sort of speaker, it's four waves, and then four waves come out, and it's just brilliant, mate. It's such a laugh. And you could have it in your garden. It really isn't that big, that thing. That's why that particular wave isn't that big or long, because they had to squeeze in that sort of test facility. But, I mean, an average sort of suburban, well, sort of slightly above average, but a decent sort of suburban back garden, you could have one of those things, and they are a right giggle, as far as I'm concerned.
Do they say they just change the amount of set waves being on who's... guys in the water, or how's that work?
Yeah, well, you could just have waves all the time, but it gets a bit sort of choppier that way. Like, ideally, you have a little bit of a gap between sets, right. But yeah, you can have as many, you can have a single wave, you can whatever you want. But I think it really sort of contrasts from the idea of the Kelly one, where it's just a person goes and sits there on his own, and there's quite a big gap between the waves, and then you kind of just, as opposed to it is actually like a pool, you know. Kelly's one's just a sort of a canal, basically, isn't it? It's just a long, it looks like a canal. Whereas this actually really is like a swimming pool with a wave in it, so it really is like a sort of fun sesh, and yeah, wicked. Had a really good time, love it.
And how'd you go on the heat there? There was some good surfers there. What, Victoria Vargas wasn't there, and some did you equip yourself well on your backhand, Paul?
It was Victoria Vergara, Mikey February, and Adrian Toyon were our surfers. The Ritz sort of showed up uninvited, but we were supposed to have Mikey Wright actually, but unfortunately he had to pull out about 30 seconds before we were supposed to leave from the Leclerc car park in Capiton to drive down there. He decided not to come for reasons I won't go into. And also Yagadora was supposed to come as well, and he left town the day before. Ben, what have you got, Lutz?
Well, once again, I mean, there's a lot to pick out of the eyes of the recent tour. Obviously, it ended up in Portugal, which I watched a lot of.
You could just say everything's bad if you want. We'll just.
No, there's a few little things that started to niggle me. Maybe I watched too many heats, but straight up, I'm going to go in. Let's, enough of the preamble. I think babies on podiums, I don't like it. Well, babies in interview areas. So often, there was a few that happened in Portugal where the guys come out of the water, dripping wet, go straight for the interview with Rosie or Strider or whoever it may be, and then they'd have be thrust of their baby, which obviously is better than some other stranger's one, into her hands, and they do the interview with a small child, like a 6-month-old baby. Miggy Poopo was the main offender in this.
Yeah, Miggy.
And I just think, I mean, just leave the babies out of it. They don't add anything to the interview. They can't talk, for fucking starters. They've got a baby. That's great. I mean, fair enough. You've got a child. You're proud. I kind of get that. I've got children, you know. But I don't drag them out. I don't get them involved in this podcast, do I, Paul?
No, you haven't so far, mate.
Yeah, maybe there's a few sort of rules that need to be tightened up around the podiums. And I'd start with, no children under 12.
Yeah, Mickey Poops. He, I feel like I sort of haven't seen him for a couple of years. I don't know why, whether I've just not watched his heats or has he even been on tour? I don't know, but last time I saw him, he looked sort of like a late teenage. He had like braces and was sort of like a young, young, slightly, not podgy, but just kind of like that, one of those like youngish dudes. And now he looks like sort of one of the baddies from Dexter, doesn't he? He looks like a sort of a middle-aged man of sort of South American origin, which he's on middle-aged, but he looks like, do you know what I mean? He looks kind of, it looks like really different. What happened?
Yeah, he has been on tour the whole time.
He looks really different, though.
He was like this young up-and-coming Brazilian, wasn't he? Like some of the new breed of exciting young. Yeah, and then the braces came, and that sort of further euthanized him. Not in terms of young, being youth. And then, yeah, all of a sudden, I know what you mean. He's just popped up, and he's fighting for his career, and he's like a tour veteran. So has he got streaks of grey? I mean, I just made that up. He's got children.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, he's gone from young up-and-coming Brazilian to, like, Gilham Purdy.
To just Brazilian, yeah.
To Victor Rubats in a blink of an eye.
Do you think Rosie asks about doing the tour with the kids enough, or would you like to hear a few more questions about... What's it like being on tour with your kids, or is it hard now you're a father?
I'd like to find out more about how Parco and Ace deal with it.
Yeah, I'm not sure we've really got to the bottom of that, have we?
No, especially with Parco. He's only been doing it for he had his baby when he was 20. So his eldest child's 15, so he's been asking that question for 15 years. So, we need more of that. Definitely more asking about it, but less actually children on it.
Why aren't there any mums on the women's tour?
There was Chelsea Jorgensen, was that her name? Yeah, ex-Chelsea Hodges. She had a baby and came back. Lisa Anderson.
Okay, never mind anyway. Yeah, I don't care. Move on.
I think you've got to take about 2 years off too and have a baby, don't you? That would be the answer. It's a classic glass ceiling, Paul. It's solving the world's problems, trying to solve that conundrum of keeping women in the workforce.
All right, well, look, I'm going to go straight into my bad, well, on the subject of the women. I was pretty disappointed with the overall standard of shredding by the women in Portugal and in France. And not just that, but also the fact that no one seems like they're allowed to mention. It's so patronising. I mean, they do something pretty average to quite shit, and they go, oh, another brilliant turn there. Oh, great move from Sally. It was actually shit. They should just say it. Don't, like, I just think it's really patronising that you can't even be objective about what they're doing. You got to, like, say everything's brilliant. No. I just thought it was really... Apart from Carissa Moore, who I've got on record pretty much every single podcast I said is amazing at surfing, and Stephanie in Wright, the rest of them, seriously, I mean, what the actual fuck? I'm amazed by how good they aren't, seriously. And why can't anyone do an air? How many airs were done in between the two sort of beach break events? How many airs were done? Maybe Silvana Lima did a sort of incomplete one. What? Why is that? Why can't any of them do a real basic air, Ben?
Well, I'm not sure. I know that didn't they send, like, was it Courtney or...
Lakey Peterson
for, like, a 2-week course with, like, John Florence and... in perfect ways in Mexico, and she didn't do one.
Why can't... I just don't get it. It's not nothing to do with strength, because you get, like, 11-year-old little boys can do airs, so it's definitely nothing to do with strength. What? Just don't get the reason. I don't know if anyone can fill me in, you know. But see, I just thought they were... I just thought it wasn't very good. And Sally Fitzgibbons, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not sorry. Sally Fitzgibbons, seriously, she is a sort of borderline disgrace. Like, her surfing is appalling. It really is. I mean, I get sad about the future of the sport when I see stuff like that. And the fact that no one says, yeah, it's not a great year, or performances haven't been there. And goes, oh, it's unbelievable the levels they're surfing at these days. Yeah, it is unbelievable. Unbelievably shit. Well, not funny, Ben. I mean, I'm not... Yeah.
I'm
genuinely pissed off, mate.
I know, I can hear
I'm over it.
I'm generally impressed with the venom.
I almost feel like we should just cull this entire generation, apart from Carissa and Sadeh, and just start again with the new batch of sort of 12-year-olds, because there's no hope for this lot. And they're just... I mean, yeah, Tyler fucking Wright, my God. How annoying is she in post-seat interviews? She hurt her knee and there was a whole fucking... Like, the sort of choking...
It was a journey. She did mention the journey one stage. It was like, you've just strained a medial ligament.
Choking back the tears at every fucking question, and you post it in you, the dramatic pause for effect. Yeah, you hurt your knee. Yeah. Unbelievable. I like to sort of competitive spirit to win it all last year, but I mean, the style is just awful. Awful. Like, there's no reason why you can't be stylish, even if you can't do airs. Or the sort of relatively what's in 2017 a basic manoeuvre in surfing properly. You can at least do it so it looks nice. They fucking can't, Ben.
Maybe we could get... Yeah, I'm sure we'll get some... I'm sure there'll be... All those questions that you've raised, I'm sure there'll be some answers from our loyal readers we look forward to.
I've been watching quite a bit of women's sports much more recently, because in general I think women's sports are getting a much bigger profile than ever before, quite rightly so. I watched quite a bit of women's football this year, and like genuinely like really good games, you know, like at the skill level and everything, and I'm not sort of just being patronising and trying to sound right on, but actually, you know, really good to watch. And then I've been appalled, but surfing really seems like it's kind of been left behind, and I think it's a lot to do with the fact that no one ever says if someone's not surfing very well. They'll just go, oh, she's incredible. The level she's surfing at is amazing. No, it isn't. It's shit. Not bad enough.
Okay. Yeah, well, you've said it.
Let me just sort of nuance that argument. And you mentioned it just previously, just off air. Jaws, though, good effort, wasn't it?
Yeah. For the women. I agree. I watched it, because I remember I watched it last year, and I was like, we're in the wrong position. You just felt there was a couple of girls out there that were just didn't want to catch a wave. They were just not prepared or not ready. This year they were all out, and I thought they were hunting it in the right spot, sitting on the right peaks, and wanted it, and rode the sets that came through. So yeah, no, I thought they from last year they all those six women in particular had trained hard. And had got the boards and had psyched up for it all year and went it, and I was impressed. Yes, I agree.
Sorry, I just dropped my fountain pen then when you were saying something important.
Right,
probably. Just as an aside, if Jordy Smith and Kanoa Igarashi were in that women's heat at Jaws, where do you think they would have come?
Sixth.
Mm. Okay, mate.
I don't think they'd be ready for it.
Ben,
I really don't.
Have you got anything else that's...
Well, I did. I was a bit... speaking of Geordie Smith, I played the boot in a bit over this, and I feel a bit bad, because I do like Geordie. I love his surfing, and I like him as a person, but I just thought that heat in Portugal...
I like his surfing.
He'd already... he'd had a shocker in France. You know, there's all the big ups... He had the big up about the yellow jersey, and this was the year of winning the world title, and he just won it at a time, blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. went to, speaking of Wade Garden, his prep in France was to go to Wales, which is probably not the best of plans. Anyway, went there and kind of bogged it in France. He looked tentative and just looked nervous, which is fair enough. The one in Portugal, he was up against Josh Kerr in the third round again. And Kersey just, they're mates, they're probably the best, you know, best friends on tour. They were staying together, all that sort of jazz. And Kersey just left him alone. He said, didn't even sit on him. And so he kind of gave, like, Geordie Smith free run. Like, here you go. You're going to sit on your own, do it all. You just got to get above 10 points because that's all we needed. And he just didn't do it. And I know it was a wave star, Pete. I know Portugal's difficult, but I just thought it was a real test of character. And I think in terms of competitive surfing, and I think Geordie just butchered it.
Yeah, lifetime bans.
Despite the fact that Josh threw it.
Lifetime bans for both of them, basically, isn't it?
Yeah.
Essentially. And that's the only real step that the WSL can take is ban them both for life for that heat.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there you go. And Miggy Poopo, if he ever brings his child up on stage. I mean, the life bans could be... There should be a lot more of those. There should be, like, any claims under 8 banned.
What about if you're called Kanoa Igarashi? Lifetime ban?
What, just for being Kanoa? No, not at all. I like Kanoa. But anyway, yeah, so Geordie bottled it. Lack of ticker, and I think if he's not going to win this year, he's never going to win a world title. And I just can't see him coming back from that.
Did you overall enjoy the Portugal event, or did you think it was
I loved the weekend when it was like, it's a hard one because there's 8-10 foot like serious waves, and when it comes off, it's amazing. But you do just watch a lot of dead time, don't you? A lot of just closeouts. I mean, it's like when you're there surfing or watching it, there's just a lot of downtime, and then there's those moments of peak excitement. So the weekend I enjoyed. I thought obviously when they had to run that final because of the final days, they just ran out of days or whatever. That was pretty poor. I thought they could have waited until at least the high tide came in. The tide was running out. It was just inevitable. It was going to end up in a shit fight. But overall, I thought there was real moments of excitement. And of course, Maduna made it exciting. If it wasn't for him, then the race would be over. We would admit, you know. So, yeah, I enjoyed parts of it, is my answer. Paul, have you got anything else to say?
Yeah, coming back on this European leg, mate, the Quicksilver Pro France free surf crowd, got a couple of bones to pick with them. First of all, I mean, the thing that's sort of going to really... The thing I noticed, possibly above all else, is the amount of people that come here, and you know, a lot of people come here, but it's sort of, you know, tens of thousands to come and surf specifically during that 2-week period. They come here because they know the event's on. They go, oh, when are the dates? That's when it's on. Okay, I'll book my flight or ferry or train, however they get here. So they come specifically for that. Park very close to the event site, the well-publicised global surfing tournament site with the most famous surfers in the world that's all over everything. And then they sort of get out of their car or van with their sort of wretched fucking 9-board quiver or whatever, and then sort of check the surf and look like really genuinely sort of surprised and kind of slightly pissed off that it's crowded. Like they kind of go, these guys are all here as well. Fancy that. Well, yes. Fuckhead. Of course they're there. They came for the same reason as you, cunt. Like, seriously, you're going to come down during the biggest sort of thing that happens in surfing in Europe. You've got to expect a few other people to be there. Try not to be such a tool about it and act with your sort of very strong sense of entitlement. It just sort of annoys me a bit. And
so it's the crowd's reaction to the crowds that's getting you upset.
One of the things is their sort of face and the sort of general disapproval of people exactly like them, just with sort of slightly different names and sort of DNA sequences being there, basically done exactly what they've done, come for exactly the same reason. Also, just the general vibe of everyone kind of thinks they're sort of owed like some pretty good set waves as well, like maybe don't know, they knew someone that was here in 89, or like there's always sort of crap kind of sort of lineages about whatever. Fuck off, mate, don't care. Like,
I parked here and it was just a sand dune.
Like, seriously?
The Rockford was built in like 81.
Yeah, exactly. All of that. And so that you know, but you get crowds, but I'm sort of prepared to sort of, well, not tolerate it as much, but just sort of accept that they're there, well, surely they fucking should. So there's that, Ben. But also the litter was a real problem, and I don't like, as you know, I don't like to draw upon national stereotypes, but it was definitely the fucking Spanish, dude. They are messy, messy fuckers. They really are. It's just part of their thing. I love them as people, but it's part of their thing when they go to a cafe, or you know, they sort of sit at the bar and have their bit of tortilla on a slice of dry, stale, nutritionless bread, and then they sort of wipe the grease, the salty grease, from the corners of their mouth with a napkin and throw it on the floor. That's just what you do there. You don't put the napkin on the plate. You throw it on the floor. If you look at the floor in any sort of cafe bar, there's just millions of little bits of paper, and that vibe unfortunately seems to have carried over to the sand dunes and the car parks of Southwest France. But it was minging the amount of shit everywhere, and I chiefly lay the blame firmly at their door. Messy fuckers.
Spanish fuckers.
And there was a bit of retribution, I've got to say. I did see a little bit of abuse of vehicles and waxings, and someone
condone that?
No, I don't really, but you know, I mean on the one hand you can sort of see why, but it's kind of weak. You should even sort of say something or just, you know, don't, but you know. But yeah, I saw someone get quite creative with a sort of fudge caramel sundae, smeared the sort of chocolate all over the sort of handle and the window of a car, and then threw sand on and wax the windscreen and wrote various sort of things on there. The one particular car in question was a Spanish license plate vehicle with an extraordinary amount of sort of litter strewn around it. That evidence could just be purely circumstantial, but it looked like they kind of stayed up quite late and had a bit of a party in the car park. And at that point, anyway, at the time, the vehicle piece hadn't cleaned up yet. So, yeah. That's Quicksilver Pro France, mate. That, you know, we'll miss it when it's gone, Ben.
Der Surf Europa Podcast.
Okay, Ben, well, it's time for one of our favourite parts of the show, Podcaster Mastermind. And as the defending champion, it's actually your honour. What would you like to do? Would you like to ask first or receive questions first?
I'll receive. I always ask to receive, Paul.
Okay, well...
When playing tennis?
You were still on the Rip Curl Pro Bells Beach, or just Bells. So there's two sort of topics rolled into one. You're the defending champ, so you're going to have five more of the best on the Rip Curl Pro at Bells Beach. And your questions start now. Child protege Nicky Wood famously won Bells in 87 before this kind of self-destruction. Finished runner-up to Nicky Wood in that final.
Wow, that's our good friend Richard Dog Marsh.
Correct.
Actually, 1987. They were both trialists, interestingly enough, Paul. And if you give Richard Marsh six beers or less, he will swear blue in the face that he was ripped off in that final, and his life may have been very different if the judges had scored him adequately for a backhand floater.
Okay. What was the prize purse when Jeff Hackman won in 76?
$1,000.
It was...
No, $500.
It was $6,000.
No way.
$6,000, mate.
That's a lot of money for back then. He would have spent it wisely in 75, though.
You're one from two. Okay. In 1960, a local surfer and Olympic wrestler cleared the path down to Bells with a bulldozer. What was his name?
That's a very good question. I do know this guy. I can't remember it. Bob Nelson.
Oh, Bob Nelson, mate. No, it's Joe Sweeney.
Oh, Joe Sweeney, yeah, this famous Sweeney clan. His son Jeff went on to become one of the greats of the area.
Whatever, you won from three. Okay, Ben, a local sort of pressure group called Surfers Appreciating the Natural Environment, which abbreviates to SANE, started to protect the environment at Bells because of the impact. They were worried about the impact the surfers were having. In what year did SANE start?
Well, it was after it was turned into Australia's first actual surfing reserve. I'd say SANE came about in 1998.
It was 88, mate. So you're 10 years before you thought.
Who thought I'd get that a local opposition community group's formation date? I didn't know it. That's unheard.
I've
let myself down.
You're all right. You can redeem yourself. You're one from four at the mo. Let's see. Last question. How many plants have SANE planted since their historic inception in 1988?
I would say that they've planted at least. All right, you're going to put down to the single seedling, or you want to
ballpark figure, mate.
5,000 trees.
It's 10,000 plants.
Oh,
so not bad, but not quite good enough. You're one from five. Fuck you.
Alright. I see that the game is already diminished once you lose.
Yeah, so I asked my topic. I had to choose I nominate a new topic last time out, and I nominated the life and times of Robbie Page.
A rich, rich vein of information.
A rich tapestry.
Both true and false. Oh, it's a rich tapestry. Okay, let's start. In what suburb near Wollongong did Robbie Page grow up in?
Bellambi.
Bellambi, that's right.
Yes.
Obviously, as you well know, Robbie's famous for winning the Pipe Masters. First part of the question is, in what year did he win it?
88.
And can you name two of the beaten finalists in that year?
Tom Curran, Barton Lynch, and... They were in the final, no?
Yeah. All right, Tom Curran was.
Okay. Damien Harbin?
Yes.
Well, there you go. I've named two. I've named Curran, Harbin. Who else? Derek Ho? Anyway, whatever. I've named two.
Derek Ho was in it. Glenn Winton.
Well, there we go. So I've fucking nailed that out of the park, haven't I? So what?
Well, after answer, I'll let you go.
So I'm three from three. Yep.
No, that was just a one point of that one. I gave you 1988. I mean, that's a given.
Okay.
Okay. You know that famously that Robbie spent time in a Japanese prison.
Yep.
How many days
66.
Did he spend, and how many days of which were in solitary confinement?
I'm not sure. Half the time, but I've nailed it. 66 days, mate.
Sure. I actually read up on that, and in this encyclopedia it said he was thrown in jail, obviously, locked in solitary confinement. But as Tim Baker reported, yet no one from the sports governing body, the ASB, checked on him, offered any support or legal counsel. They simply listed him in the event as a no-show. When he was eventually released and deported, the ASB board voted to impose an 18-month suspension from competition, despite the fact that many of the surfers who voted in favour of the ban had known to ingest the odd prohibited substance themselves. At the age of 26, it was a virtual death sentence to his contest career.
Sorry,
shame.
Was there a question?
Shame.
Is that part of the quiz?
No, it was just,
you're just
a bit
reading,
of information.
You're just reading out the internet, are you? Thanks for that. So I'm three from three, yep.
What was the premise behind the movie Rolling Thunder, in which Robbie Page starred?
You mean Scott Dietrich's Rolling Thunder? Uncle Robbie is his own. So it's basically sort of after the sort of ecological apocalypse and everything was flooded, and he was like living in a cage. And I saw that in Croyd Village Hall when it came out, actually.
Yeah, you're right. It was set in. I just had a quick look. It's on YouTube if you want to go check it out, or an hour and 40 minutes of it. And yeah, set in 2040. It's a moral tale. It's an ecological tale. It's a fabulous tale. Bro,
Bobby has recently enrolled in a formal education program. Which is that?
Formal education program. He is studying. You mean what subject?
Yeah, what program is it?
Is he studying Australian history, First Nation history of Australia?
No, he's not. He did recently, or not recently, discover his Indigenous roots about a decade and a half ago, but I know it's the Indigenous Business Masters Class program at the University of Melbourne's Business School. And I, for one, would love to sit in that little class when Robbie joins group.
I'm 4 from 5, basically.
You're 4 from 5. I gave something bad out of the park. Build your confidence back up.
I'm a freaking legend. I know loads about Paige's life, and fuck you.
Yes, well done. Congratulations is my response to your poor sportsmanship. And we move on.
Cool. So basically, Ben, I'm going to get 5 more questions on Pagey, although I feel like I've answered about 10 already this time out. So 5 more next time out, and you need to nominate a new topic, mate. Ben, well, quite a controversial new addition to the show, Sacred Cow, and it's your turn. What have you got for us?
Well, after the character assassination of Oki by your good self last time, the Sacred Cow, yeah, I've really taken on board, Paul, and I've come up with an area that's sort of become a byword for perfection, for sand-based, dreamy perfection.
Oh la la!
Nominate this podcast, Sacred Cow, as the waves and region of southwest France.
You've gone mad, haven't you? You've gone insane. You've taken leave of your senses, haven't you?
No, I just think it's about time to tell the truth, Paul.
It's
going to hurt. People aren't going to be happy. I don't care.
Let's hear about it.
Okay, I'll paint you a picture. It is 6 to 8 foot. Perfect offshore, light sort of northeast, easterly breeze.
Which it often is,
Yeah, which it often is, you're right. And it's often 6 to 8 foot. That's undoubted. It gets a lot of swell.
Even in summer.
Big lines are coming in, and you sort of trudge up the sand dunes. You've got that picture in your mind of probably you've seen the photos and the footage of the Quick Pro France or line-up shots of just perfect spitting sort of Le Gravier barrels right on the beach. There's some hot chick wearing no clothes, who just sort of goggles eyes at you as you're putting your leg around. But what you do find is when you get over the sand dune, you look out, you'll see a line. And that line stretches from Mundaka, about 150 miles due west, all the way up to Bordeaux, about 200 miles fucking due north. It is one long line of closeout.
No.
There isn't a break. No. There isn't a line. And you think, hang on, it's 6 and 8 foot and perfect. It is, by definition, what you chase for. And then you think, well, okay, there must be some type of break in this line. There must be somewhere where there's a rip or that's punctured through or that perfection that you know, and you drive, Paul. Oh, fuck, you drive. You hop in your car, you go down to here, you hit up to there, you wait down to there, you've heard some bloke said there's some fucking bank up near the forest, and you go up there, and guess what? When you get there, it's a fucking line, and it's closing out, and you can't surf it. And that's what often happens, Paul, when France is so-called pumping. And I'll tell you what. Fuck it, it's pretty frustrating.
Nah, you've got mad. I think basically what you've done is you've confused your own just getting it wrong in terms of conditions. What you're describing sounds a bit like a west swell, but I don't recognise that picture you painted at all. Some 15 years of living.
That's here. one picture painted, which I know for a fact, being that you live there, you fucking have seen it all too often. I'll paint another picture. The opposite of what that you do actually turn up, and I have seen this. Don't get me wrong, I've seen that picture perfect France set up. There is the girl wearing the G-string on the beach. There is 6 to 8 foot peaks that are detonating on sandbars. and you say, wow, this is what I came here for. This is living the dream. You obviously take time to do your Instagram account, pump it out there for the world to see that you are living the dream that has been manufactured by surf magazines and videos for years and years. And you get down there and you put on a leg rope. I don't know, something happens, Paul. Maybe a butterfly farts in Alaska. Maybe a seagull coughs up a chip in fucking Leland. I don't know, but something changes. You can't notice it because nothing. It's only been 3 minutes, and all of a sudden those picture-perfect fucking waves, well, they're not there. They either turn to mush, it's a rip bowl, it's too high tide, it's too low tide. That chick with on the G-string, she's put on a dress, she's gone home. The waves out the front have completely changed in about 25 minutes, and it's gone from perfection to fucking dog shit, and you don't know why. And you don't know why you're sitting here. Thank fuck you've got the Instagram photo to show that you're still living the dream.
Yeah, no, you literally, I don't know if you've travelled to Portugal or America where recreational drugs have been decriminalised and you're high on something. If you are, it sounds like good value because you are very high. But no, you've gone completely mad, Ben. Let me put it this way. Let me ask you this. Where's better? Where's got better beach breaks in here? In the universe, where's better?
Part of the problem, Paul, that's because it's all there is frigging beach breaks in this part of the world. There's not a single reef. Well, okay, you're going to call Guterai, you're going to call, I know you're going to say avalanches. Yeah, they're reefs, big fat burgers. There's no reefs there, Paul. That's part of the problem, not part of the solution. That's what I'm saying. If it had a fucking decent reef or a decent point that you could trust, that place would be off the schnizzle. As it does, you're the vagaries of those sandbanks, and they get good, but, mate, there's better beaches around fucking the world, surely.
Just name one.
Budging Up, West Oaks.
Oh, come off it, please.
Beachy. North Stradbroke.
Please. Well, I'll make another point because I got more. Board shorts in summer. Warm enough for boardies in summer. But yet also... Well, 4 months if you're me and you're hard. But also, pumps can pump in the summer. Everyone thinks it's flat, but it's pretty consistent. Gets quite a lot of swell, relatively speaking, for summer. Where else gets waves in summer? You can get barreled in shorts in the middle of summer.
Well, this is Queensland, northern New South Wales coast, you know, for one. But I'll tell you another thing. Amazing. I'll paint another picture, Paul, because I'm fucking painting some pretty good pictures right now.
Mm.
You do just say that... you know, we're talking about the perfect beach break that you, as editor of Surf Europe, fucking permeated around the world, those lies you've been peddling, among other ones. And you do, it is perfect, and that girl on the beach is still there, and you paddle out, and guess what? It hasn't changed. It's not too high. It's not too low. Fucking guess what, Paul? Guess who you're surfing with? A bunch of fucking That's who you're surfing with, all right? And they're French so they're a different type of I said that word a lot, I'm going to stop now, but you get the point. You go out there, these are passive-aggressive to the highest order, so they paddle out, they don't look in the eye, they paddle straight past you on the inside. Now, that happens everywhere in the world, I get that, I'm an unlocal, get the localism factor, I don't mind a bit of localism, it has its place to a degree, but these guys, they paddle straight past you, they don't even say hi, they never say hello, that would rip their heart out, sit about a metre from you where you've been waiting for 10 minutes and then take off, and that would be all right too if they weren't 85% of the time kooks. So you've either got your 85% of the time kooks who can't surf, mess up the tube and it's just a waste of weight, waste everyone's time, or on the flip side, they're some sponsored dude that can't ride the tube. They paddle past you anyway. So, even when it is pumping, you are surrounded, and you know this because you live there, and I've heard you say it before, Paul, surrounded by fucking one of the world's worst fucking crowds.
Yeah, no, you're mad.
What do you say to that? In fact, you know what? I think I've pretty much rest my case, Paul.
The only thing I could think of is you're still angry from that time we were in the pub, and we'd had about 3 pints, and I said I didn't think Don Bradman was that good, but... And you actually got genuinely angry. Is this still like a hangover from that? Is this still?
Well, yeah. There's a similarity in that you're posing an argument that has absolutely no basis in truth. But apart from that, no. I think I'm just sticking to my guns.
I've just got one little piece of evidence actually before the case for the defence rests its case. I think, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, or the surf world in this case, might be interested to hear it. It's actually a text message from, well, it's from you. Because I just sent you a message just now about doing this call, actually. And I saw the last message and it caught my eye. Would you like me to read it out?
Yes, go on. Please, okay. Paul, please.
Ben Mundy, open quotes. Sit left at Bourdain's. It's pumping. Paddling out now, comma, cunt. So that's a direct quote from you saying how good the waves are at Bourdain in Senos. It's dated February the 14th. It's actually Valentine's Day, which is a bit weird. But anyway, you were obviously down here and you had a good surf. So
water temp in February the 14th, about 14 degrees. No, about 12 degrees.
You
Celsius.
Didn't seem to mind when you were texting me, Ben.
Look, Paul, you're right. I've had some good waves there. I've outsurfed you on many a man-on-man battle. But, there's having good waves, and there's the sacred cow element of this place, which has been elevated through the one-off pictures and sort of the footage, which I think paints a picture that's not real.
Okay, well, interesting that you said that. I can see we're not going to reach agreement on this. I think the only thing left to do is flip a coin. I'm actually going to flip a euro coin, Ben. Weirdly, I've only got Spanish. They're all Spanish ones. I want a nice French one. Here we go. Okay. So here's a lovely French euro. And you want heads for abattoir, tails for pasture?
Yep, sounds good. Abattoir, heads, please.
And it is heads, unfortunately. So that's how we've settled it. So France... You're in the abattoir with Oki.
And get a dog right up ya.
The Surf Europe Podcast.